Hey, Katie.
Hi, Teresa Marie.
How you doing?
Oh, you know, another Tuesday over here. It was such a Tuesday. And you know what? Right before, it was probably like circa 3:40. Mm-hmm. I have an 8:30 a.m. call every Wednesday, which gets a wee bit tough with like pickups and childcare because like sometimes grandparents run a little late, and it's okay.
Yeah, sure happens.
I have to be on camera. It is client facing. Tom sometimes also has an 8:30. So it gets a little hectic, if you will. Mm-hmm. And though my day starts at 8, I log in and I look at things, but I'm not like actively working.
You're doing the I call it the pre-work ritual. Like, I'm working, but I'm really just like catching up on like, I'm deleting emails. I'm filing whatever came in overnight. Yeah. But I'm not like physically in.
Correct. Like, I'm answering some like things that people reached out, but like, there's something more that I love than like sitting down bright and early the minute I'm supposed to start. Just, I'm like very productive in the morning, so I try to like ride that train. But I just realized beforehand, I was like, oh my God, you want to present something. The client doesn't know I'm presenting this tomorrow, but like, I wanted to go in with like, hey, let's look at Q1 data and do some cost saving analysis for you. It's like, whatever. And I'm like, you missed one whole thing that you wanted to do beforehand. So I was luckily like, able to like quickly bang it out. But of course, that's like when your Excel shuts down and you didn't happen to save the copy that you were working on. And I'm like, it's just been a very Tuesday.
Kind of related, unrelated, but I run like a monthly meeting for my team and I always send out a reminder. And I'm like, hey, can everybody, you know, the meeting's on Monday, by end of business on Friday, can everybody finish uploading their slides to the folder or making like their final edits on the presentation, whatever. And I'm like, it'll be closed for edits as of Monday morning because it's like an early, it's like a 10 a.m. meeting. And every single month, people like Monday morning are like, hey, actually, I just finished mine now. Or like, hey, I still need to make an edit. And I'm like, no, you can't.
Hush.
I'm like, I'm working on putting it all together now.
Yeah. Like, go away. No.
But I get it because like I used to do the same thing. But it's like hard when you're like editing. I don't know, whatever work.
I was talking to one of my coworkers yesterday. And I guess like she's older. She's a little older. Her daughter's my age, our age. So she's like, the other day, my husband turned to me and was like, you know, you're working so hard. And she's like, well, yeah, like if I'm going to do my job, I'm going to do my job and do it 100 to 110%. Like, I'm not going to slack off over here. Like, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I feel you. Like, if I'm going to, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have my slacking off moments, but when I'm like, if I have to deliver on something, I'm going to deliver and I'm going to try to even like take one step further if I can to impress.
Yeah.
And by people would reach out, like I always offer help, that type of thing. Like that's what she means. And I guess like her husband passed a comment about like, well, you know, you don't really have to work. She said, I've never snapped my head around so fast. Like, then why the fuck am I working?
I'm like, I am ready to win the lottery. I'm ready to be stay-at-home wife. That is, I think, the dream.
I love work. I think because it keeps me like active with my brain, and you are like socializing.
Yeah.
But I think every time I've had quote unquote time off due to maternity leave, it's not like just vegging on the couch. Like,
I I said stay-at-home wife, not stay-at-home mom.
Exactly. So okay. Like, I would do a stay-at-home wife, still ship my kids out, and then do whatever I wanted to.
Yeah, no, stay-at-home wife is completely different. Stay-at-home mom is its own full-time job. I don't want to do that. I want to be a stay-at-home wife.
Yes.
I want to wake up in the morning and go to the gym and come home and then like stop at Starbucks and go to the bookstore and come home and like putz around the house and like lay on the couch and read and then maybe, I don't know, like shop and or just like travel. Yeah, no, that, something. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Stay-at-home wife is the best job in the world. Stay-at-home anything else is also a job. So no, stay-at-home wife is my goal.
Stay-at-home mom, I commend the people that do that because that is probably harder than a normal 40-hour work week at a job.
Yeah.
Like, no thank you.
No. Well, yeah. I can't speak on that. But If you,
maybe garage, when you're older.
Yeah, my garage is opening if that's what you're hearing.
I know, I heard it.
I looked at your face and I was like,
about our wants.
No.
I was going to say, is your dryer on?
No, it's Gil's getting home from the driving range and I'm texting him like, I'm recording. I'm not talking to you, because he's going to come through and be like, what?
What you doing, T?
So I said, I'm recording, so shush. Anyway.
Hush.
You know, anywho, we're here to talk about Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe. So Katie read this originally when?
I'm pulling it up right now. That's what I was trying to do the entire time that I was talking, but I couldn't get my fingers. Love and Other.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. Let me see. Edit dates. July 2024.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like it's been like a year. And then you just did the audio because Alex Fink is the narrator who we are obsessed with.
Yes.
Oh my God. That really.
Oh my God. Sorry, yeah,
if you guys can hear that, it's so loud.
That's crazy.
It's because I'm literally in the room right above the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was my first time reading it. I actually just finished it last night. It was so cute.
It's very cute.
It's very cute. Like, is it groundbreaking? No.
No.
Is it like this like deep romance?
No.
But it's very enjoyable. And I think I read it at the perfect time because I was, which we'll talk about next week when we're doing Spilling the Tea, but I've been reading, and I just finished a third book in the Spark of the Everflame series, which is like very daunting in book three, which we'll get into. But I think I just like needed light, fluffy fun.
Yeah.
And this was light, fluffy fun.
Yes. It's very like X-Files meets Expedition Bigfoot meets Expedition Unknown and X. And if you don't know anything that I'm talking about, that's okay. If you have watched any cryptid type show where they're searching for a cryptid, basically that's what this book is.
Yes. And it has like two hot people at the helm.
Yes. And you know what I liked about, well, first and foremost, Alex Fink knocks it out of the park with the audio. If you have an opportunity to listen to anything that she narrates, I highly suggest doing so. She brings such like fun vibes and emotions and energy to any of the books she reads. She did Promise Me Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my sweet Lord.
Ready or not.
Like everything she does, she just slays. And to do the eyeball read the first time and then the audio the second time, I still felt the same way, but I was like, wow, she's really doing it such justice.
Yeah.
So I had a point to my whole conversation. Like, oh, so the main characters, I kind of like that we are given like no true alpha, right? Like I feel like a lot of romance books tend to have someone most times. And I know, I think we even said this on another podcast recently. You get typically a male alpha in the sense of like domineering, rich, has it to get. There's something like he's pulling her to a positive light. And I like that this is very much shared. There is no, they're on like level playing field.
They are complete equals.
Yes.
Yeah, and she had that. I mean, she had the toxic alpha X.
Yes.
Cade, who literally deserves prison.
100%.
I hate it. Every time I saw his name on the page, I was like, I'm going to kill this bitch.
That the issue that happens in the end when he gives the interview, knowing that that was approaching, I was running so hard at a pace that I shouldn't have been running at because I was getting so angry.
And it's like crazy because I'm like, oh, like this shit, this happens
100%
all the time. The only thing that I found like a little bit like I was like, okay, like this is a little far-fetched for me was that he did this interview. It was going viral and like the bosses didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's kind of – okay, so Hallie – and Hayden, well, Hallie and Cade work for Scroll, which is like an online, I don't want to say it's BuzzFeed, but it like was giving
it
me
gives
that
BuzzFeed vibe.
But it's like, yeah, they do, I guess, like online, like video content. That's the whole, that's what the company is. And they're competing in two separate shows. Hallie finds Hayden and Cade is doing his like, whatever, newbie brothers or something like that. And long story short, Cade is her abusive ex, and he does an interview basically like trashing her and like calling her like not nice names, like all this stuff. And she, like, I guess like a week or two like later, sends it to like basically the CEO of the company and their boss, and is like, hey, by the way. But it's like it's a moment that goes viral, and there's people commenting on her page, like her Instagram, Hayden's Instagram, Cade's Instagram, and like the shared like show Instagram and stuff like that. So I just feel like as the CEO of a company, or even as like the boss, because I think Chloe like also like didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, how are they running this like multimedia online content like business and then like not paying attention to the socials?
That and – but you know what I – yes. So that's a little problematic, but I can kind of get on board with
it. Yeah, no, I understand it for the plot, but I was like – when I was reading, I was like, how did they not know this?
I know. I liked a few instances around it though. I guess maybe the word liked might be incorrect, but when what do they call him? What's the CEO's or COO's like nickname?
Champ.
When Champ sees Hallie, he's going into a meeting, and the way he kind of says like, oh, hey, how's it going? It's just so normal that she's almost like, oh, he must have not read my email. And then little do you know, he's walking into a meeting to fire Cade. And I really like that she wrote it that way, because I think it speaks volumes of how a workplace should be. Even though someone was in the wrong, and I do think his actions deserve termination from said job, you don't go around kind of flaunting out in the open what's about to, you know what I mean? Like, there's a way to like give body language and the way you're speaking to someone. If Hallie and him need to have a conversation after the fact so she can vent behind closed doors with Chloe or no Chloe, I like the way that was presented. I do, flipping back to the whole interview, it's so mindful. And again, this happens every day, right? Especially when you are watching people online, you don't know who these people are. Mm-hmm. Like, you are seeing something that is being portrayed. You're getting a dose of what these people are really like. Even if you're going to speak, he spoke so terribly of someone. It's kind of interesting. And I guess it all goes back to someone's job. Like, if someone was giving me an interview, I guess if I'm the journalist here, I'm going to suck in everything they're saying. I'm not gonna be like, hey, dude, you're being a fucking asshole. Because that's the whole point. It's like, you're getting the content. But the fact that people still like you trolled people because of what one person said, and the person's being a jackass by putting other people down. But again, I'm like, but this is just the way of the world, and it's so pathetic and sad.
Yes, I was gonna say I feel like I've seen this kind of shit like a million times on the internet, or like person says like one thing, and then all of a sudden it's like
a ricochet
without
effect.
Like, it's crazy. That is literally people on the internet love to be haters. I love to be a hater IRL, but like, if I don't like something on the internet, I just like scroll past it or block the person and like move on with my life. People love the drama. And like, and again, I mean, she says it too. Hallie says it. She's like, it's a lot harder to be a woman on the internet than a man. And it's completely true. Like, she's being attacked because of something that Cade said. Instead of Cade getting called out for
being an asshole,
talking very derogatory. If he like really had like a bad relationship and he came out and he said like things like, you know, how things happen, maybe in like a respectful way, that's different. We obviously know that that's not the case regardless, but coming out being very horrific and derogatory in this interview, and he gets no backlash. No. Hallie's getting all the backlash. And even Hayden, who literally hasn't really done anything wrong and we love him, he's getting like so much support. Like, you deserve better than her, blah, blah, blah. Like, so of course it's like the two men are kind of getting away unscathed. Hayden and doesn't deserve any hate, but you know, whatever. And Hallie is just getting all of this like negative, like horrible attention. And it just makes me want to punch somebody.
No, I agree. Like, why is it the female? But it's, I mean, even going back to good old Britney Spears, like what's her song? Like, I was going to say Pieces of Me, but that's the song title. But it's so true. Like, you can't be too skinny. You can't be too fat. Like, there is no... society for a female still needs to get their fucking shit together, because they everyone's preaching positivity and feminism and uplifting each other, and we still so terribly tear each other down.
Yeah, and if you come out and you're too confident, then she's so full of herself. Yeah. Or if you like show like a little bit of vulnerability, it's like, oh, she's fishing for compliments.
Yep.
Or if like you lose weight, it's like, she has an eating disorder, or she gains weight, and it's like, oh my god, can you believe she looks like that now?
Even with the postpartum body, like you're supposed to, like, even though society's like, no, there's no such thing as bouncing back. I'm like, really? Because fairly certain everyone still thinks that you deserve to be a double zero a month after giving birth.
Yeah.
Like that. No. Like, why do we, and you just, everyone attacks. Like, why do we do that? Why do we do that?
The patriarchy. Now I've not
literally. I saw something today that literally I could have almost texted you, got like you to be like, oh my god, listen to this. But I'm like, you know why? What power? Why? Like why? What? And why am I going to spell that energy? I have no idea what this person's backstory is or what she feels. So there's no reason to snip a screenshot, make a comment, send the post. There's no reason for it. So I was like, let me just shut this down because this is not the way I should be and move on with my life.
And listen, like, nobody's perfect. Everyone, if you want to be a hater in secret. That's what I say. Like, do it where it doesn't hurt anybody but yourself. Like, holding in, like, a negative energy if you want to. Sometimes it just feels good to be a little bit of a bitch, but do it in private.
100%.
No, like, don't literally, do it to, like,
a person.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, like, nobody's perfect. We're all going to make comments, whatever.
Oh,
but
hell yeah.
You can make a comment in the comfort of your own home instead of putting it on the internet where, like, the person you're talking about is going to see it.
And imagine, like, someone, again, like, with this post that I did see, I can only imagine that when that person was posting, she probably took literally forever to maybe think of this post or, like, have the courage to post. So
yeah.
If someone, even though, like, I had different thoughts and opinions about it, no big deal. They weren't hateful. It's just like, oh, I didn't see it this way. It was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I can only imagine, like, if there's a comment in there that's going after her, like, I don't know. I'm just, why?
Again, if you don't like what somebody, unless it's, like, actual harmful or, like, really terrible, like, whatever. But if it's just, like, a difference of opinion or if it's just, like, the way that, like, somebody's outfit or how somebody looks, like, you can literally just scroll past and not
engage. Just scroll past it.
It's literally very 100%. Simple. I'm a big advocate for, if you, like, there was this girl and she kept popping up and I always saw, like, her opinion. She just, like, annoyed me for, like, no reason. This happens with just people on the internet. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like, their face just annoys me. But it happened the other day and I didn't like an opinion. And I was like, you know what? This person's page keeps popping up when I'm scrolling and I don't like any of the opinions I'm seeing. So I just blocked them.
What's the harm?
Right. What's harm? Literally.
Or, like, and this is what it's I fine. Did on this person's post. Cause, like, again, I read it and I was like, I can't, like, what? Like, I ended up looking through the comments. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of seeing what people mean. Like, I don't know, like, learn something. Anyway.
Or that too. Yeah. Or that too. But yeah.
Kate's
I don't know.
A piece of shit and Kate. No one should have trashed Allie.
Now, if Kate is on the internet, then I do condone
full
bullying.
Full support to being bullied.
Full support for the bullying. Full support being a hater.
Kidding.
Be a troll if you ever see a Cade-like person, troll. I support it.
Back to cryptids now.
Back to cryptids and Hayden. So Hayden is our cute little, I mean, he's not
angel
little.
Baby.
He's like a
6'4".
Man. Yeah. Hayden is our cute big cryptid lover baby. He's like a soft boy. I love him. He's also, okay. So I knew that I was going to love him just like the way that she just describes him, like in the beginning when she's talking about his like looks. She's like, he has deep forest green and warm browns like mulled wine and fall leaves. Like, she says, like, seeing him is like seeing color for the first time in so long. I love that.
How angelic.
I know. But then she like realizes when he gets really passionate about something, he has a Boston accent.
Yes. It sneaks out. I know.
It sneaks
I love
out.
That. I know.
And it was just reminding me of that one clip of Chris Evans. Like, this is like from a couple years ago. He had the mustache. And like there's a clip of him and like his Boston accent like comes out.
Swoon.
My pants are on the floor. Like, I just, it gets me.
It's so cute because, like, I love how she finds, like, Hallie needs to find an idea, right, to pitch to her boss in order to basically keep her job. And in the middle of the night, of course, when all the delirium sets in, she finds this show. And I think it speaks volumes when you have zero interest or belief in something and someone is that compelling online. Both in looks and the way he speaks, that you want to reach out to him and do a show with him. And, like, I love their little banter, even when you get clips of the show and how, like, she goes, she doesn't believe anything, like, right? Like, she kind of maybe starts to have some speculations, but I love when they go take the tour too, and he's like, this is literally all wrong. And, like, the tour guys kind of, like, look at them, like, what are you doing, dude? Like,
no, it was
so
funny.
Passionate.
Because that would be me, like, I'll be like, well, actually, Gil always says, he's like, you're always like, well, actually, that's not entirely true. Like,
like he's like the special with the man, where Sharon Tate was unalived. Yeah. He is literally getting, you could like feel how heated he's getting with the fact that that house is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest address is whatever he says. And he's like, the house isn't there. It was torn down in such and such state. Like I could like feel him getting agitated.
You know, and because this is like his like life's passion. Yes. He's like, they're making like, he's like, this is, none of this is true. This is none all of this is false. True.
I also, on the audio, they have like a cool intro for music for the podcast. Like it's very, it's done so well. Oh my God. Like, whoever is listening, you need to just go listen to the audio. It's so good. But
I want to listen to this podcast.
So she wrote book two. And when I tell you, because this to me was like a cute little 4-star book, right? Like it just, it checked the box of what I was looking for. I like cryptids. I like all those shows that I mentioned beforehand. Do I believe in Bigfoot? Probably not. But I do believe there's things out there that we don't know about. Like,
yes,
that's kind of my belief. But the way she writes love and other sightings.
Wait, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Love
at first sightings. Thank you. I don't even know how to say that it's, she leveled up. She's doing great. She's doing great things. Like, I think if she just keeps going on this trajectory.
Yeah.
And I like that she delivers romance, but it's geared a little bit more towards the people like I. A little different. Into the strange and weird.
Yes. Wait, no. Okay, so this one. Sorry, I was making sure I have it on my TBR. This is, like, kind of, like, more alien-esque than the second book.
This book?
No, the second. The Love at First Sighting is more
alien. Yes, it's a little bit more alien-esque.
Because I definitely believe in aliens more than I would believe, say, in The Mothman.
Yes, 100%. Second, I like the spin that she does with book two. There is okay. Just think of what UFO stands for. It's an unidentified flying object. It doesn't need to mean that there are aliens on the spaceship.
Right.
I like how she wrote book two, even though, again, I'm all for having an alien type of read. It's not so alien-esque as I think a lot of people are going into the book.
Okay.
And I very much appreciate it because I think it opens the door for other readers to join the party.
Okay.
If that That's made any lick of a sense. But I thought she, like, fucking delivered. Like, I will reread that once it comes time for a release.
Yeah, it comes out in August. Because I was like, when I finished this, I was like, oh, let me get the second book. Because I knew that you read it, but I didn't realize you read an arc. So I was like, damn it, I have to wait now. Because like, it really was so cute. And I, you know, like, something like, there are some books that I'm like, this was just, like, so deep and so meaningful to me. And then there are books I'm like, this was just so fun. And that's how I felt Love and Other Conspiracies was. Like, it wasn't like I was addicted, like I couldn't put it down and I had to finish. But I was like we went to brunch on Saturday. I read in the morning, we went to brunch, and I was like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I have to get home to keep reading. But when I got home, I was like, oh, I'm home. Like, I can read some more. Like,
yeah.
It was just like, it was like very like, it just was warm and like very comforting. Like, I love the characters so much. I think that they're both really funny in their own way. They're both like extreme nerds, which I love. And there's just like such, like, there was like really cute banter. Like the first time Cade, so they're at a Skrull party and it's the first time that Hayden meets Cade, and like Cade is just being a complete asshole. And Cade goes to Hayden, he's like, good to meet you, dude. And Hayden was like, you know, it wasn't that nice to meet you. And he, like, grabs, like, Hallie and, like, kind of, like, shuffles her back. And he's like, well, that guy's a dick. Like,
it's so good. Like, he has no point. Like, he has no problem standing up to him, even though
he is who he is. And, like, I loved that Hayden was so, from, like, the minute he meets Hallie, he immediately believes in her and he trusts her. And, yes, it's, like, insta-love, but it's not insta-love where it's, like, cringe and you're, like, ugh about it. Because they're spending, like, a lot of time together.
I think he kind of...
It's like an instant time together, attraction. And I didn't mean to cut you
off. Yes. But I think he also sees I don't want to see him. I don't want to say like himself in her.
Yeah, I can see that. Some,
but like he, you, they both kind of have like their own little things to deal with. Like mm-hmm. for him, he lost his dad, which his dad introduced him to all this. His mom doesn't really understand why he's doing what he's doing. And you kind of go into the assumption that like this woman's going to be kind of awful. Mm-hmm. But you come to find out when they're at the family dinner, she's really not that bad. I just think she needs a little bit of a kick in the ass to be like, can't you just support your kid for what he's doing? Like, he's doing a great job with it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And then, like, she comes out and she's like, I want you to show me your episodes. Like, they end up watching them together.
Yeah. And then his stepdad's even, like, on board. And
yeah. Like, it's a cute moment. But I think the same thing kind of is for Hallie. Like, he had to find his own confidence, even if it's found in a weird, skeptical, people aren't super accepting of it way. And yeah. Hallie's kind of, like, going through something in terms of accepting herself for who she is, knowing that she's not this version that Cade has made her out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she overcomes it. And like, even in the end, when Cade does post that video, does the interview and it goes live, she kind of like backs away and not really, mm-hmm. like I don't want to say like she breaks up with him, but like, she's like, I just need some time. I don't want to have this bad, like, come on to you. Like, you finish everything. I'm going to go over here. And he just the whole time is so supportive.
Yeah. And I love that he's like, listen, if you need to step away,
yeah,
I support you. He's like, but hear me out first. And he basically is like, listen, this man has taken so much from you. And mm-hmm. if you backing away is going to give him everything he wants. Like, this yeah. is what he wanted. He's like, so it's okay if you need space. But like, also, if you can find it in yourself, don't let him win.
Yeah.
And of course, at the end, he doesn't. And Hayden's like, you know, I was like waiting for you. He's like, I knew you were going to show up. Like, he doesn't doubt her for a second, but he still gives her the space to come to that conclusion on her own, which I love. We talk about this a lot when we talk about romance books. Like, a lot of the romances that I think do really well are the ones where she's completely great and confident and good on her own, but like, being with him is like an added benefit, because I hate when it's like, oh, without him I'll be nothing. And I feel like Hallie is very, she's like, I'm gonna do this for me, and he's very much like, yes, do this for you, whatever you need. And then she comes to the conclusion on her own, and he's just like, I knew you would, because he like he just believes in her so much.
It's and so cute
for a man who believes in a lot of things you can't see. He truly does really believe in our girl.
I also, again, because I am a total nerd, the video he recreates of Bigfoot and how, like, he actually went to the extent of, like, truly sloshing. Like, she's, like, clocking him and she's like, where the hell is this guy? Like, I've got time to kill. Like, and he's like, by the time he reaches her, he's like, did you get it?
It reminded me of your wedding when we were... Okay, so Katie's bachelorette, we went to Colorado, and we made, like, a lot of, like, Bigfoot, like, jokes when we were on our hikes and stuff. But then at her wedding, we were in, like, this, like, tent. And so she got married, like, up, like, a mountain, whatever. And so we were in a tent before, like, you know, the processional and everything. And there was, like, I think what started was there was no bathroom.
No.
But you could see, like, you can, like, people see, like, our shadows, like, through the tent. So I went out, I went around the side of the tent to pee, and then walking back, there's like a video of me and like, it's like gone squatching and it's like doing like the Bigfoot, whatever. And I was just like thinking like, that's Hayden right now, but
100%.
He was dead ass about it.
So dead ass. Like, like comparative heights and everything. I was pissing my pants. I was like, I know the video he's speaking of. Most people do as well. You just don't know that it's called what it was called. But I was like, wow, he is so invested.
He's so invested. And the thing that, okay, so, like, this book, too, even if, like, cryptids aren't your thing, which, it's not cryptid heavy, like, it's, like, the, it's a subplot, which is, like, fun, and it's, like, cute, and it's, like, adds whatever, but they also just talk about conspiracies in general, like, they talk about JFK, and this one, and I don't know how to say it, but I, like, a few months ago, I went on this, like, crazy TikTok, like, down this rabbit hole about this conspiracy. It's about those, like, hikers who, like, die on the mountain.
The Slovakia, the kids in, like, Poland or something?
Yes.
The Dobloski.
It's, like, something, yeah. It's some, Eastern European, no. Whatever. But six died of hypothermia. The other three died of physical trauma, ranging from severe chest trauma and internal bleeding to a fatal skull injury. Yes. Some of those who died of hypothermia also had physical injuries and abrasions.
They're missing their eyes and their
tongue. Two hikers were missing their eyes. One was missing her tongue. And another had missing eyebrows. And the final conclusion was that their cause of death was their cause of their demise was an overwhelming force, which the hikers were not able to overcome. But nobody knows exactly how they died.
No. And I went on people this. Hold on. I'm going to talk about this because I've watched so many videos on this. Hold on. I have to find the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Yes.
Dyatlov Pass incident. It's extremely sad. And I actually do think recently the Russian government reopened the case. But they ruled out, because like a lot of people were like, well, there must have been some kind of, they were in a tent. You are in sub-freezing temperatures where if you are exposed for mere minutes, you are going to suffer from hypothermia and then potentially die.
Yeah.
They cut their way out of the tent and escaped with barely anything on but their pajamas. So you're leaving your boots behind. And these kids are like experienced
hikers.
Yeah. Like they knew what they were getting into. Like
expeditionists or whatever.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's a perfect term for them, because that you are in severe temperatures. This isn't just like a hike in the backyard in 70 degree weather having a good old time. Like you are in remote regions. Mind you, there was a kid that ended up turning back halfway through, and he obviously lived because he went back because of like he had a headache or something that he couldn't get past. But they cut their way out of the tent. I do think that with recent investigations, it wasn't an avalanche, but like a slab slide that they were looking at.
Okay.
So you still have something barreling towards you, but it's not at an avalanche. You can detect an avalanche and look at like whatever happened afterwards. But that was one possible theory, because they tested so many different like radioactive, like with the trees and stuff like that, just to see like, was there like missile components? The one really weird factor, I don't know if you saw this down your rabbit hole, is when the kids were quote unquote reported, the dates didn't match up to government documents. The government knew of this days prior to releasing the information, which does make you have this whole conspiracy that they that they are behind the deaths of these people. It's so so crazy.
No, yeah, it started. I was on like which like now we're going on our own conspiracies. Mount Everest is not a conspiracy theory, but I started on like a rabbit hole of the people who get like who die up there and how like their bodies are just like left forever.
And how boots.
And then you know, when you're scrolling, whatever, and then I got to this and I was like, this is a fucking crazy story.
It's insane.
So if you guys need these are the conspiracy theories that I like. Like ones like this. Like I don't like new age conspiracy theories. I like things like this. I would say just go down the rabbit hole. Obviously it's incredibly sad. These are like real people who obviously died, but it is incredibly interesting. And some of the theories are like crazy, but
insane.
When they were talking about it, I remember like somebody was like, oh, it's basically like the abominable snowman. Like when like another form of Bigfoot went and killed them, which is what made me start going off on this tangent about this.
Some of the theories that people have, I'm like, okay, now this is out of this world. There's no way. That's going to be a hard pass. So, but kind of to your point with the whole, it's not cryptid heavy. That's love at first sighting. It's not alien heavy. It leaves room for any romance reader to join the party because that's at the end of the day what this is. It's a romance book. It just has a different genre of a subplot behind it.
Yeah, it has a little spin on like a typical romance.
Exactly. And highly recommend.
That. Like we read First Time Caller recently, and that was a radio show. This is about a podcast / online television, like YouTube channel about cryptids.
I've come to the conclusion that if a book has a podcast or radio show or TV show component to it, I want to know about it because I want to read it.
Yeah, because I think that they're, again, I haven't read a lot of them, but the ones I have read, I think are done really well.
Agreed. My brain. What's the Christina Lauren book that we're obsessed with Fizzy and...
True Love Experiment.
True Love Experiment. Like True Love Experiment. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, Soulmate Equation is the first one. I was like,
I was like, I was thinking of Soulmate Equation and tying it into True Love, and I was like, Soul Equation? Like, what?
something. And I don't want to say it's slow. It's instant attraction and it's medium burn.
Yes.
Because I would say it's about halfway through that they kind of get together, but it's not super spicy. It's definitely spice light. Which I was appreciating because, I mean, I've said it once, I said it a million times. I'm only really interested in spice light at this point.
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm trying to think of something that I read recently where I was just like scrolling over. Like, whoops, I guess I don't care about it anymore, which is funny because, which in the beginning of book, I feel like everyone goes through the journey, kind of like how we're coming back now to fantasy.
Oh my God, yeah. We are on, it's like full circle, right? Yeah. Like you go through all the phases and I do think you kind of weed out what you like and what you don't like, which is great.
Yeah. It's very cyclical because I think another tangent, guys, who's shocked? I think at least for me, I'm always gonna need a little bit of romance.
Yes.
In a book. Not like every like the wedding people, it was like barely any romance, but there was still like a sprinkling. I kind of need like a sprinkling. But what I was going to say, I feel like when things start to become a little too redundant, it's like good to genre shift.
Yeah.
To kind of break it up. So
and
I
that's
was
what's
doing
nice about this.
Yeah.
It's not a small town. It's not like small town. It's not like,
no.
It's not your typical fits into the mill of like everything.
Yeah. Like it's, I mean, like obviously when you pick apart a book, you can pick a million different tropes that are in it. That's just life in general. Like things are always going to fit into certain boxes. But I feel like this book is very like, it doesn't rely on any specific trope. Like,
no.
Yeah. Like right now I just cannot read small town romances. Like I really, unless it's like an author that I absolutely already know that I love and adore. I'm not in the mood. Everyone that I've read recently, I just haven't liked. And unfortunately,
I'm almost happy being back on our fantasy kick. Like, I don't know what happened, but some people got like, they've been turning it up. Just to like name, I did put up a post today that's like in my fantasy era.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the most pleased. You know, like you just can't like execute exactly what you're trying to execute, but like you can kind of come close and you're like, whatever, it is what it is. I know like you've done the Defy the Night, the Prison Healer, and those scream to me true YA. And if you are a YA lover, like those knock on those doors. But like the Windweaver, like I love when we start getting characters that are a little older than 25, right? Like kind of creeping towards like the more responsibility. They're not children. Maybe has like a grayish theme to it. Like it's not like Defy the Night and Prison Healer, even though they are fantasy and action packed, they give me Harry Potter books 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the vibe that they give. There's happiness and joy even at the darkest of times.
Yes.
But you start hitting like The Windweaver and Spark the Flames by Ivy Asher, The Crimson Moth, The Otherwhere Post, and like you're starting to creep towards like books 4 through 5.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of 6, depending. You know what I mean? Like, and I like that. Like there's good, I need a good plot now. I'm in that kind of a phase. Like I want a good plot.
Yes. No, I'm in desperate need of good plot. And not that this book is obviously not a fantasy book at all.
No.
But I was gonna say it's like bridging the gap because it's obviously very much a romance, but it has that like the crypt, I mean like
yeah.
It has like the little elements of like, ooh, whatever. But it's was the perfect palette cleanser after reading a couple fantasy books. And it's, I think it would be like, there are some books that I want to be made live action because I just like need to experience them. This is not something that I'm like, oh my God, I need this, but I think it would actually do really well as like a Netflix show.
100%.
Like, I think it would be like a really cute, funny, like 28 minute episode. Like,
yes.
I think it would just be really cute. And now I'm really excited for the next book to come out because I was really disappointed. I thought it was out, and now I was like, now I have to wait.
I know that's the one thing when you get ARC. Sometimes you're like, you look at the pub date and you're like, how far away are you? It was, I literally finished it. I was like, I can't even, she just, like, I don't want to say it's better than the first because even though it's cryptid-esque, it's not the same. It's not the same. You can't compare the two, but I will say whatever writing skill, like she's really like honing her craft.
Yeah. I feel like you could definitely tell that she's into this too. Like, I mean, I'm assuming she is into like conspiracies and like things like that, because I feel like it was very, the parts of it that were focused seemed very well researched.
Yeah.
And she also did it in a way where, as somebody who's not familiar with like the cryptid world and is just like a fantasy like romance fan, she made it in a way that honestly, like, I felt like Hallie watching Hayden while I was reading it, where I was like, right? Oh, like there's just something about it that I'm like, I'm not really a believer, but I think it's fun.
I'm drawn to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I did tab this. I thought there was like really cute parts, like their first kiss and stuff. I know, like, in one part, she's like, he's the way that she describes the way that Hayden is kissing her. She says something like, "It's so peaceful, almost like falling asleep." And I just feel like that, like, familiarity of like being with someone who you're so comfortable with, where like she's just like, it just feels so natural and like whatever. I was like, it's cute. I just love them.
I love that she, again, instant attraction, like, she definitely is, like, got the hots for him first. Like, he might feel that way, but he's like, oh, yeah. She's like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, you are, like, I shouldn't be thinking about banging my, like, my coworker right now, but like, I am.
Girl, I don't blame you. She goes, do you think about me? And he responds with constantly. And she goes, when I'm not around, when you're alone? And he responds with respectfully. And I just think it was like so cute. Like, there's just like, I like love like little banter like that, where it's not like, it's not super flirty, but like it is. And it's just, I was just like reading it and smiling the whole time.
I know, it's so cute.
It really is so cute. There's, I mean, I love like, you get like the excerpts from, we said that like from the podcast episodes, which are cute. There's just like a lot. There's just like a lot of like cute, like little things. And even, okay. I've just been reminded that I'm not all the way there yet. Oh, wait, blah, 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 whatever. When he says that he thought that he would be like that as a child, he thought that the Bermuda Triangle would be like more of a problem for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
No, but like so true.
Quicksand, the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh my God.
I was
being
like,
lit on fire. Stop, drop, and roll, man. I thought I was going to stop, drop, and roll like maybe like 10, 15 times in my life.
I really thought
the McGrover House signs that like people had like when we were in elementary school, I thought for sure that I would have on my way home from like school, I would have to run to one of these houses because I would be trying to get like kidnapped or something. Like, yeah, it just is so funny.
So like being okay, catching fire and being kidnapped are actually things that probably could happen. The Bermuda Triangle, yes. I was literally like, what happens when I get sucked into it? Like, I was like, it was a foregone conclusion that I was gonna end up there.
100%. Yeah. Like, you were just going to succumb. That no matter what, if you crossed the Bermuda Triangle, you were going to perish.
I remember I was flying, like, the first time we were flying to Florida, and I, like, remember being, like, to my mom, like, are we going to fly through the Bermuda Triangle? And she was like, no, we circumvent it. Like, she just basically, she didn't even tell me, like, no, but, like, she wasn't like, no, it's, like, not real. She was like, no, don't worry, the planes fly around it. I'm like, you were perpetuating my fears. I was like, oh, well, thank God the pilots know to drive to fly around it.
Just fly around it.
Please. And then I'm like on the beach and I'm like, where's the quicksand?
Where's that quicksand at?
How can you tell that it's different?
But it's so true.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of things as a child I thought would be really big problems in my adult life. But I like was like laughing when he was like, yeah, I really thought the Bermuda Triangle was going to be like
a problem.
A way bigger very problem problematic. For me. But yeah, next week we're doing Spilling the Tea, and then the 29th we are reviewing Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry, so that comes out next Tuesday. I'm literally counting down the days.
I know I have a little bit left in my audiobook, but I'm like, it's so hard to track audios because it's like, well, then what do you pick up if I finish, like, I have 2 hours left in my one audiobook, so obviously I'm gonna finish it the next couple days. Yeah. So I'm like, then what do I do? What, I don't know where to go from here. Like, do I listen to another book and hope I finish it by the time? I don't know.
I know.
First world problems.
Yeah. No, but yeah, no. There's so I realized that I pre-ordered a signed copy of Great Big Beautiful Life. Because at first I was like, oh, I'm just going to run to the store Tuesday morning and pick up the book. But I'm like, no, because my signed copy is coming. So I'm just going to have to buy the Kindle version because I'm not waiting
for that
signed copy to come to start it. Like,
you cannot wait.
F that. But yeah, I don't have anything else. I mean, I think that's it. I know that did you finish The Bodyguard by Catherine Senner yet?
I have 2 hours left.
Oh, that's what you have 2 hours up. I have it right here. I think I'm almost halfway through. I think it's really cute.
It's so cute.
It's really cute.
She gives like an Abby Jimenez meets Emily Henry with like Elizabeth O'Rourke somehow dashed into the mix of this. Like that's the vibe I get from her.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's like fun. It's like really fun, but then there's like trauma, but then it's like there's great banter. So I'm excited to finish reading this. I'll probably finish it, I don't know, by Thursday so we can discuss it next week and spilling the tea. But that is all that we have for you guys today.
Sames.
Katie Jean, if you don't mind, can you please send us out?
What if I did mind?
Well, then I would have to come over there and I'd have to show you what minding looks like.
Good thing I don't mind. All right, well.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.